Christ is risen, alleluia. Christ is risen indeed, alleluia. Well, happy April Fool's Day. I mean, what a perfect day for Easter, right? The jokes on Pilate and on Caiaphas and Herod and the soldiers and everyone who crucified Jesus. Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Easter has not fallen on April Fool's Day since 1956, and this will not happen again till the end of the century. So I thought today might be a good time to reflect on the God of surprises, who in Christ Jesus has the last laugh over sin and death. After all, this is a somewhat ridiculous Easter story, isn't it, from the Gospel of Mark? It must be some kind of joke. There's no alleluias. There's no appearance of the risen Christ to the disciples. Is this any way to finish the greatest story ever told? The Gospel lesson leaves us wondering and longing for more. It starts out the way it should. I mean, early in the morning, on the first day of the week, after the darkness and the horror of seeing their teacher crucified, the women come to the tomb. They come to comb out Jesus' hair, to sponge the blood from his body, to massage precious myrrh into his skin. They have come to anoint the body of their dead Messiah, King. Oh, they talk on the way a little bit about how they're going to move that heavy stone, but they're not too worried about that. They'll maneuver it. But when they arrive, they're surprised, for the stone has already been rolled away. And that can only mean one thing. Grave robbers, the stone was rolled away by them. This is the ultimate insult. First, they have stolen Jesus' life, and now his body has been taken as well. Suddenly, they are afraid. I mean, what if those thieves are still inside the tomb? What might they do to them? Cautiously, courageously, they step into the tomb. Surprise, says a young man clothed in white. They are further blown away by his presence. Jesus is not here, he continues. He's been raised from the dead. What? What are they supposed to do with that kind of a message? This is crazy. The stranger goes on. Tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee, just like he said. They are caught up in fear and amazement. Can you imagine having these two extreme emotions at the same time? And actually, in the Greek, it's not fear and amazement, it's trauma and ecstasy, extreme low and extreme high together. They are so shaken, they could hardly function. No wonder they fled from the tomb. They probably couldn't even think straight. I mean, they say that people who have experienced trauma, actually their brains change, at least for a time. And they have trouble thinking clearly. So they said nothing to anyone, for they were paralyzed. Whew! What an ending. I mean, who could blame them, though? And yet, we know that the joke is on us this April Fool's Day. We know that eventually they calmed down and they must have told somebody, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. Why would Mark write such a remarkably disappointing ending to his book? Throughout the book, we've looked at throughout this last year how Mark rushes things from one place to another. He has a lot of immediacy to his gospel and urgency. And then there's kind of this flat ending. Well, there are several theories why. One is that the ending was just lost, that maybe the page got ripped off on the bottom, maybe it was misplaced, maybe his dog ate it. I don't know. The scribes who copied the manuscript were so uncomfortable with the ending of the book that they wrote another ending, or two, or three. And these are in brackets in your Bible. Check it out today. But Mark has the earliest manuscript, the most original manuscript. And this is the way it really does end. But why? Why would the first gospel writer intentionally leave us hanging? Well, maybe it was true. Maybe the first women encountered this tear in the fabric between God and reality, and they were just unspeakably afraid. Maybe the gravity of considering that Jesus was alive, was indeed resurrected, simply overwhelmed them. Perhaps you have had a time in your life when you simply couldn't explain something, and you wondered, and you thought, could it be? Could this be God working? Could God be loose in our world? Did you say something to someone? Probably not. Some of you have heard this story, but when I was 29 years old, I was sitting at the bedside of my dying mother. She was dying of cancer. And my father was there, and he was reading Get Well cards to her. And it just seemed so pathetic to me because we knew she wasn't going to recover. And I remember sitting there, and I wondered to myself, is this it? Is this the ending? Is this all there is? And I was faced with the fact that I either believed in the reality of the resurrection, or that life really didn't have any meaning at all, that we are no better than other carbon matter. But I realized then that God treasured her life, that God thought the love that she had shared with me and my family was important. And suddenly, surprisingly, and even joyfully, I realized that, yes, I did believe in life after death, and that I could entrust her to God's love that had surrounded her all her life. And I suppose I've been telling that story ever since. When God enters your life and rips it open and breaks open your reality with unaccounted love and hope, there is indeed resurrection. There is new life. It happens when you least expect it. God sometimes is the April Fooler. When you think all is lost, that you've done or been something unredeemable, God surprises us through the presence of a loved one, or an encouraging word, or a way of making us laugh at what we had been thinking. Our God is the one who transforms tears to laughter, anxiety to peace, depression to hope, fear to faith, and even brings life out of death. Jesus is the proof that death has been defeated and that love is eternal, that our tears will be wiped away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So now I'm kind of thinking that God has one more April Fool on us today. Because you see, I don't think our gospel lesson today was meant to be an ending. I think instead, Mark's intention was that it be a beginning. A beginning for you and I to tell the good news story. Dr. David Lowe suggests that resurrection is not a conclusion. It's an invitation. It is an invitation for us to pick up where the women left off and to share the good news of where Christ is alive in our own lives. Luce writes, "It's only the beginning. The story isn't over. It's only the beginning. And we have a part to play. It's only the beginning, and if you wonder why there is still so much distress and pain in the world, it's because God is not done yet. It's only the beginning." And Mark is inviting us to get out of our seats and to get into the game, sharing the good news of Jesus' complete identification with those who suffer and his triumph over injustice and death, to share that with everyone we meet. It's only the beginning. And we're empowered and equipped to work for the good in all situations because we trust God's promises that all will, in time, come to a good end, even when we don't see evidence of it. Maybe Mark's gospel is really just setting us up to live resurrection lives and to continue the story of God's redemption in the world, wherever we experience healing, whether in body or in spirit, Christ is alive. Wherever we experience people in solidarity with the poor, Jesus is there. Wherever there is renewal of trust and hope for the future, our Lord lives. We are resurrection people. As Mark began his gospel, so he ends it. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.